Blog Talk Radio.
Let me stop all that. I was just playing with the music. I don't know what's going on. I hope everybody can hear me. This is our second show this week. We are going to do a show on double consciousness. And it's a question about how you reconcile yourself. How do you basically show your authentic self versus your public self or yourself when somebody's watching, someone's listening. That's what the whole concept is. When can you be yourself, basically? It's like simply black people must look at everything from a dual standpoint rather than a singular one. I guess it works about the women as well, especially black women and non-white women. Last week we had a pretty good show. We were just topical last week. And I think we enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. And we're waiting on our call-in guests to come in and join us for the show. We're also waiting on can you hear me now?
Girl, all and even if it don't work.
Dollar Man. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm not even clear.
Go ahead, I hear you.
Hello?
Yes, 312.
Yes, Malik Rahim, Dr. Rahim.
Malik Rahim. We got a new studio here, Malik. I'd like to introduce everybody to Dr. Malik Rahim, formerly of Fresno State University. Is that correct?
No, I'm still there.
Oh, man, I thought you was leaving. I thought you said you was coming back home to Chicago and was
I'm
somewhere.
Back to business.
I'm not reading your posts no more, man. You write a lot of stuff. I'm just not going to read it.
Did you see my job title at Shield?
Right, okay. Well, I know you saw our the show title about our double consciousness, and when we were discussing it, did he fall off? Well, we dropped a caller.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, man. This is me, man. I keep forgetting to go through the host pin and all of that, man.
Yeah, okay. Raheem is on the line as well.
Okay.
Dr. Raheem?
Yeah. Yes.
A new studio. I'm not sure what's going on. I think Robin rigged it because I don't know. It never worked for me when I log in first. He said, log out and let me do it. Then all of a sudden he in here talking. You know, you see what I'm saying? We just get back going. And all of a sudden this dude, now he got these stars in his eyes, you know? I don't know what's going on, man. I'm just going to roll with it. Haven't heard from Steven, but I think it's a great topic. And I was talking to Rob earlier. Well, I was texting while I was working. And I said, you know, it's complete lunacy how we come up with these topics.
Uh-huh.
I called him about 6 in the morning, ranting and raving. And he like, this dude is straight crazy. And then we start chopping it up, as usual, and we came up with this. Man. So have at it, gentlemen.
Well, he didn't come up with a damn thing. He just says something, and then he goes like this. Then he goes like this, Malik. He say, now, go ahead and write it. I go, write what, man? So, I don't want to waste your time. I know you're busy. I know you're in transition also coming back here. So, that'll be cool. I think what we wanted to take a look at it, and I didn't want to mess it up in explaining WB's theory. Now, obviously, I can explain it or whatsoever, but I think even double consciousness impacts me. And so I think I'm a bit shy to realize that I still suffer from it in certain type of environments. So
right.
I think that's something to look at. But for the everyday person that's listening to our show, would you be able to, and I know you can, would you be able to unpack it even for my 18-year-old daughter or my 17-year-old cousin or whatsoever? And we'll come back. Go ahead.
I could try.
Okay. That's good enough. It's better to have an effort from a PhD than an effort from, you know, maybe another PhD.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sometimes the more degrees you have, the less able you're able to communicate with the common person.
Okay.
So.
What is it? What? And I think Clarence and I, Monique, and I'm going to get you started. Clarence and I also looked at how O.J. Simpson, I don't know if you saw this documentary.
I didn't see the 30 for 30. I didn't see 30
you
for
need,
30.
You need to see the one on ESPN Watch. It's five parts, man. You need to check it out. You have to check
it
out or something.
Unfortunately, when it was coming on, we were driving on our way here to Chicago. But the whole concept of double consciousness is a phenomenon that is still going on today, you know, especially in the Black community. I know that a lot of people have tried to make it transcend over to other communities, and it very well can be, you know, looked at in other communities, whether it's LGBT or as far as the women's movement, you know, things like that. It can be, but originally designed, it's like not only looking at yourself as your own identity, but looking through yourself as almost like an outsider looking in. So you're internalizing the stereotype that the dominant group have of you. And so it creates a sense of self-hatred. And you always feel you have to wear a mask in order to survive. Even some people even theorize it to the sense to where it's like you act differently depending on the company and that you're in.
I think that's it. I think that's one of the first things I noticed about it before we even tackled this discussion.
Right.
Is how you can be in a group setting. Could be just us three. Somebody
right.
else comes over of a different persuasion. And before I know it, the whole conversation flips. The whole identity flips.
Switch, right.
And somebody that I thought I knew turned into somebody I never met.
No, right. I give you a perfect example. It's like, you know, they say that you can take the brother out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the brother. So it's like no matter where I'm at, where I go, I'm Chicago. But Chicago raised me. I grew up in the Chicago South Side culture. So even, you know, working as a professor, assistant professor at Fresno State, I tried to be quote-unquote professional, but it, you know, every now and then, Southside Chicago slips out, especially when I get to a sense of being comfortable. So I remember one time I was in a mixed company, and when I say mixed company, I mean males and females, but everyone that we were mixed were Black. So it was a group of us as far as Black, you know, professors. Some had their fiancés, some had their boyfriends. But it's like, you know, we were all there, like, at an award banquet for one of my colleagues. Her name is Dr. Pitch. She was getting an award. And so she asked myself and other people to come you know, support, and she, you know, got up there and made an outstanding speech. We were so proud of her for winning the award. But it's like, the thing about it is, you know, as we were leaving, you know, I'm just, you know, acting silly, you know, just being like, you know, the brother from the South Side. And I could tell, because it was a lot of, you know, otherings in the area that weren't black, some of the people that was around were embarrassed, saying, you know, like, why you gotta be so loud? You know, don't talk so loud. Don't do this, don't do that, you know what I'm saying? Because there's certain rules, you, as a black person, you're supposed to act a certain way around white people. So, like, but my attitude is, like, real is real, you know? Real is real. You know, we sit around here, we talking, you know, we real is real. You know, we have, they want to have a barbershop conversation, but keep it quiet. Those two things don't match to me.
Hey, Raheem.
Yes.
So, you're a professor, right? And you, and Rob, you
was
at the university as well. When you're around a certain group of people, are you conscious if, well, let's just keep it real. Have you ever done it? Have you ever been in a setting where you felt real comfortable and then all of a sudden somebody you thought you needed to impress made you want to ball your fist and act like somebody else? Has that ever happened to you?
You talking to me?
Malik.
Talking to me?
Either of you can take that.
I think this is how it shapes with me. It shapes with me in that I can't have a deep voice when I'm around a certain group. Mm. I can't have a certain look on my face when I'm around a certain group, because I'm noticing I'm being profiled as being an angry black man. He doesn't like a smile. And so we got things that we go through. You know, we can't have hair on our face, as Chris Rock pointed out. It's just certain things we can't do. And that ain't just because it's of the opposite race of whites. You have it, you can't do it around certain blacks. And so I'm positive I have never been able to exhaust out of me behaviors that describe double consciousness. You say, why? Well, if you're on a job, and I don't care what job it is, you're on a job, you go talk a certain way to that culture. And that's just the case. And if you talk too much different from that culture and you've been warned to cut it out, then you're looking to work for yourself. Because as long as we're an employee, we can't go in and go, I'm going to talk the way I talk on the street. No, you're not. Why? Because you've already begged me for this job. I gave it to you. And so I hate to say this, you work for me. So,
hey, Rob.
Yeah.
I got somebody from 815 calling in. Let's see who it is, okay?
No problem.
Hold that talk.
All right.
815, who is this?
Hey, this is DC, Dinez, -X. How's everybody?
Hey, man, what's going on, brother? Looking to hear from you. Hear something from you, man.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Have you been listening?
Yes, I have.
And you heard the question that was posed. We asked, have you ever been in a situation where you felt authentic and then somebody came in and changed the mood, changed you? Have you ever been in that situation where you were in your comfort zone and someone entered into that conversation or entered into your space, and all of a sudden you noticed yourself speaking different, acting differently?
Yeah, it's just we call it adapting. We just adapt or code switch. Like when our CEO of our company comes in, for the company that I work for, the whole atmosphere changes. How we greet one another, how we speak to one another, even how we handle the employees changes up. But 20 minutes after he leaves the building, we're right back to doing what we were doing before him.
He said after he leaves the building.
After he's out of the building,
I like
we're right
that.
Back to him.
Yeah, but I guess this is my question. This is my concern, is that don't you feel a little bit disempowered to have to shift?
Not necessarily.
I'm just saying, if someone comes into the room, I can understand change in a person. I can change to the culture whatsoever. I'm simply saying, but that goes on every day, and sometimes we're not noticing we're doing it. So if you're walking toward the Sears and it's a person walking toward the door, then you have to rush and open the door. I'm saying that it's not just this one part. I think it goes throughout your life, and I think it's very stressful. I think it becomes stressful, and I also believe that we don't realize we're doing it, that we're actually being someone. We're being 2-3 people within 25 seconds.
Yeah, I can understand that completely. I get really stressed out by the simple fact that when someone holds the door for you and you're a little ways behind them, you got to do the little fat man jog to the door, to show your gratitude for them actually, taking the time to actually hold the door open for you. I think that's stressful for me because I don't really need you to hold the door open for me, but since we live in a society where people don't really express don't really express how they may feel towards one another, that when it's a kind gesture does come around, that we do feel obligated to make it known that we appreciate that kind gesture. Or it could be a forcible gesture.
Well,
that's interesting. Malik. That's an interesting take. Malik, what you got?
Yes. Little bit off of topic, but if you're going to include code switching, I think the perfect example is this old skit. I don't know how old it is, but my son has shown it to me on YouTube, and we laugh because it's like a silly little comedy of the old show Key and Peele. And what they're doing is they show
about their wives.
One of them is. No. One is acting like Barack Obama, President Obama, okay. And he's walking through the crowd shaking hands. And every time
I've
he comes to a white person, he gives a formal handshake. How you doing?
Yeah,
how you doing? But when he gets to a black person, he gives what we call dap. Come on in, bring me, give me some love. And so it's like that in a sense. Is almost like the borderline of code switching and having double consciousness, where like you have to behave and look and think a certain way. Double consciousness goes deeper into the psyche and the development to where it's like you look. It's almost like you look down on black culture in the sense to where you're looking at it through the prism of white America, because you're internalizing those stereotypes, right?
What's interesting about that, I saw that, and in truth, that's just really how we do. When, if we're in a crowded room and we see our people that we recognize as close to kind of how we are, when we see them, we greet them a certain way. That's natural. That part is really, really natural. And I see some soul brothers and stuff. I say what up, and when I see the white dude in the row, I say hey, how you doing? I've been working in corporate America for a minute since 1984, and my biggest problem is I don't acquiesce as well as I should maybe. I'm good on that interview. I'm Clarence Holdman Jr. on that interview. Now once I get the job. Oh, they know who I am. A lot of times, that has hurt me. And once I get in there, I'm doing my job, but they don't like what I'm bringing because people come to me and they talk to me differently. But every now and then, I meet somebody of another culture, and they dig it because I'm being authentic. I'm being myself. I don't act well. I guess I'm saying I'm secure with myself. And I've been working in corporate America. I'm at Bank of America now. Mm. And I'm who I am. I'm always who I am, except at that interview. It's like
right.
the first date. I'm trying to get at you.
Right.
You understand? But once I'm in there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But okay.
I have
but
to. I,
like
I
double
have
consciousness.
To.
Double consciousness is this, right? Double consciousness is in the sense of like, do you not be yourself, quote unquote, the Black Clarence, because you think the Black Clarence will be looked at as inferior and suspect because you internalize that speaking as a brother from the hood is inferior. That's
well, here
like
you
double
go.
Consciousness.
Here you go.
That
would be, I don't need me to interrupt you, but that would be me saying that we're inferior. But
right.
we also are very diverse. I'm from the hood. I'm from the hood. But when I get in a certain setting, I'm not digressing from who I am. I'm acquiescing on the situation. But I'm
right.
still Clint. I don't speak in a way so you'll accept me. I speak how I speak. And if I mess up a word, if I'm not grammatically correct sometimes, if I do certain things, I'm not ashamed of that. But then I got brothers who were way more hood than me. They come into place and they speak the King's English. They do all the things that way. I mean, sometimes we overthink it. I think we overthink it a little bit as well. Because I think sometimes you can't help but to be yourself. And being hood is when I'm with Rob. If me and Rob are somewhere together, when we talking between ourselves, we talking like we talk. Somebody sit down,
right.
guess what? They going to have to get down like we get down. Or they may as well
right.
get up. That's a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
but I think here's the big difference. I think this is what I guess I'm trying to get across with this. Positions in this country where you're going to feel that double consciousness. You're going to feel it. Now, whether that's when you get the police lights come on in the back, when you don't get a resume sent back to you, or I was in, a guy was just, this, a guy said this to me, he said, and you know that you being Black won't be a problem. If that's not the start of double consciousness, I don't know what is. So double consciousness helps us look at the views of other groups that may be opposite of ours. So we look at when we can understand maybe Caucasians a little bit more. Why? Because we have to learn their custom. They don't have to learn our custom and make it number one. By the Caucasians having the primary custom that's supposed to be number one, that means we have to adhere to it, whether we like it or not. And so
that's a fact.
And I believe
so,
we, yeah.
Do you think we have to do you think we have to change? Do you think we have to change the way we think about the situation? Stop thinking of ourselves as the minority, and just think, that's the thing I got from O.J. Simpson's thing. And we're going to talk about this at one point because I think me and Rob have a different view on it. But I wish we could go anywhere, do anything, and just be ourselves and not have the connotation that if we from a certain area, we ghetto because or whatever. A lot of that is in our mind, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But then some people come there and just act a daggone fool. And I think that's just them being foolish, you know, rather than it being a product of their environment all the time. Some people think that the world owes them something when they get in the corporate world. Sometimes they own their own business and they act a fool. But I wish it was a way.
Clarence, I think you might be getting off track. You're getting off track. I think the deal is when we internalize those different positions, we internalize
right.
them inside of us as pain. Pain. Say, why? Because I'm still wearing the veil. I'm still forced to wear it. Regardless of anything, I'm forced to wear it. That is stress.
Right. Clarence, think of it like this. Think of it like this. I know you've seen the doll study, right?
Yeah.
That's a perfect example.
For three generations. That's like
a perfect example of double consciousness. It's like I could tell your daughter, your granddaughter, that they're black and they're beautiful, right? And they hearing that, but then it's like they still got to see the way America sees them as being ugly. Because America is telling them, in order to be beautiful, you have to look like this. And they know they don't look like this. So what happens is they internalize that. And so it's like, even though they might verbally say, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, internalize, they looking at it to where it's like, I'm not.
I'm the
so
other.
Like the thing is, I'm the other. So the thing is like they got that internalized battle of like the yin and yang of am I good or am I bad? In certain companies, that bad is going to be suppressed because they internalized it as it's bad, even though in other situations that so called bad might be life saving.
All right, let me say this real quick. Anybody listening, call somebody, click on our link. Anybody listening, we got the chat room open. Please join the chat room. Join us in this conversation. And you made a good point, because that doll test has been going on for the last century. Incredible test. Anybody that's aware of it knows exactly what Raheem's talking about. And if you're not aware of it, you probably are and don't know it.
Dinez, are you out there still?
Yeah, I'm still online.
Well, go ahead, man. Let us know what you think.
What is the alternative to taking off the veil? Once the veil is taken off, what are people going to see then? I believe we live in a generation where code switching or duality has been lost. We are in the generation right now of the keeping it 100. You know what I'm saying? All the time, keeping it.
Yeah, that's false, man. We did that show already.
I think
already.
It's a lie. I think
keeping
that
it real,
Dinez,
I don't
want to get you cut off. I just think that's a gimmick. But go back to your point. I'm not saying I think it's a gimmick. Go ahead back to your point.
I can agree with that stance that it is a gimmick. It is a gimmick. It's a gimmick that's put out of ignorance. When they say let me just paint the picture for you. I work in a call center, and inside this call center, you have different levels. You have the upper management. You know, you got your CEOs, people that work outside the building. They present a level of professionalism. And then you have the management that's on the inside that, yes, they have a sense of professionalism, but it's a downgrade from the upper management. And then you have what we call the employees. And then with the employees, the keeping it 100 mentality is that they don't know how to have phone etiquette on the phone when speaking to customers because they're caught into
keeping it. Okay, let me stop you right there.
Go ahead.
Let me stop you right there. What's professionalism?
Well, professionalism is using common courtesy when speaking to another.
No. I can use, you know, hey, player, I can use common courtesy and speak to you like, you know, come on, player, what's up? I can use common courtesy. Is that professionalism?
Well, when you're using professional, you got to be speaking within the language, within the parameters of what's good taste.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. See, we internalize the way our culture communicate, the vernacular of our culture, as being inferior. So we internalize that. And so when someone does it, we look at them as they're uncouth, they're not educated, they're inferior, they're not professional. So we internalize that. So we'll try to push away from that, but that's still part of our culture. So we got to kind of walk, like Rob said, in the veil of being in both worlds. But we still internalize that this is inferior and this is superior, but at the same time, this inferior, when we in certain areas, has got to be there for our survival.
We have to have that battle.
I think I'm going
to use what I saw in analysis of what the brother said about it, is that, man, we got to put on a Superman cape every time we go out. Every time we engage the public forum, we have to have on a Superman cape, because we got to switch. So or we got to switch the veil so fast. And so, like I said, we can receive a microaggressive pun, and we got to suck it up. We might have to suck it up. Well, that's internalized later, because what we talk about, and I know some individuals, I just read a comment, Clarence, you know, he said, you know, I've never felt inferior. I don't know the concept of what inferior is, but 400 plus or how many other years we've been here, we've internalized a great deal of being the other.
Right.
We can literally
see,
write
the thing about this.
What I was saying in that comment is that I guess because I grew up in a real diverse community. When I first moved on 55th Street, it was Mayor Daley's sister lived downstairs. She had a Haitian live over here, Spanish people here, all these people. My mother and father didn't raise me to be inferior. They didn't raise me to think that I was better. But it's just that I've been around all these people and I saw them being flawed, or just as flawed as what they said we were. So when I got into corporate America in 84, I found out I was just as good as everybody else there. And what I found out was that they pretty much as vulgar and all the things they say about us, uneducated, all this. The world is just a crazy place, and people frame things in a certain way. And if you believe those things, you become those things. Well, me being hard-headed, I never believed those things.
I never believed it either, Clarence. I don't want to cut you off. I never believed it either. That does not protect us from just being the other. You say, why?
No, you're right.
I can't change when they don't let me come through the front door. I don't have the power to shift. Let me finish my thoughts. I don't have the power, what goes along with their privilege to be able to label. Let me give you an example. I play football. Well, the band member doesn't have the power to shift who's the star in the school. So when the band player comes in my presence, possibly, he may feel as the other. That don't necessarily mean he's going to internalize himself and kill himself with a tuba, but it's. I believe that when the case is when you're made to feel the other, you can internalize and you can still be a strong black man, a strong black woman, a strong gay person, a strong whoever. You can still be... But you still have, I believe, what the theory is saying, you still wear the veil. You're among people, but you still wear the veil.
Yeah, and that's why I've carried that poem by Paul Laurence Dunbar, "We Wear the Mask of Burnt Eyes and Shades Our Face and Hides Our Eyes." I've been carrying that poem before I got to Dunbar. I don't know if that's why I chose Dunbar, but let me tell you, I've been working in IT since 84. And I was out of work one year, and I called this place, and I said, "Hey, I'm Clarence Holden. I was looking at the position you have." They said, "Well, sure, come on down." I got there the next week, and I got to the window, and the lady was looking at me like, "What do you want?" I said, "I'm Clarence Holden. I called about the position. I have an interview with such and such." Man, that whole place went up in flame. They was like, "Who is that black dude standing up there? What do you want here? We don't do black folks." And it was surreal because I never expected that, but I loved it at the same time, because at that same point when they couldn't figure out what to do with me, I said, I'm going to have a lot of fun on this interview. And because I knew I wasn't getting a job, so I'm going to sit there and act like I'm the best qualified cat you ever seen walk up in this piece. And I gave them all that, and I'm sharp, and my haircut, I'm good. And you know they ain't never thought about calling me back. They didn't even have their resume up in front of them when they talked to me. I had two experiences like that, one on the north side and one at Southwest Hospital going toward Oak Park, I believe. But I never felt jilted. I felt great by that because I felt like they were afraid of me. They were afraid of what I represented. And if one of us came in, a bunch of us was coming next. They were the inferior ones. I had the power that day. I didn't get the
power. I understand that story, but I think that's probably a rarity. And yeah, because as soon as you wake up in the morning, man, your day begins as the other. As soon as you leave out your door, your life begins as the other. Your life don't begin as the other when you went to that interview and stepped up to that lady. Your life was in the other phase as soon as you woke up, and you knew it. I knew it. Malik knows it. As soon as we wake up, we're put in that category. So there's no way you can – I don't know if you can take that veil off and put it back on. I'm saying it possibly is stuck. You say, why? Because once you come out your door, and let's just take again, a cop is standing there, two cops. You the other. And you know you the other. You, why? Because you know you're about to be mistreated. Let's get you down to court. You go get mistreated. We've gone through this for years, man. That is so – I didn't believe something Malik Nunn was discussing maybe 2-3 years ago about this can get into our DNA and all of that. And I don't know the professor's name, but she's pretty good. And Malik probably knows her name. I didn't believe that.
You're talking about the lady with talks about post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Man,
what's her name?
I didn't believe
Dr.
that.
Joy.
I think I told Malik to take that crap, and I think I told Malik he don't know what he's talking about. And I've been reading that and listening to it. Man, that thing, it does. It soaks into our consciousness, man. We're doing things that we don't even know.
Hey, Malik.
Yes.
That ain't the first time he didn't agree with something, was it?
Malik,
he learned
sometimes. Man, he tried to get me to read it.
I did,
man.
A paper
he
on
said,
it.
Rob, that can get in you. I told Malik, shut your short ass up, man. I ain't buying it. I went to reading on it. I was like, oh, my goodness, man. I made a fool out of myself. It's in us. It's in us. And we can't,
well,
I don't know how we get, that's my thing. How in the hell do we, I think what Clarence is, how in the hell we get it off? How in the hell we get this out of our culture, get it out of our world? I don't know that answer.
You got
to answer,
smart. But it's going to happen in pockets, like everything else that happens. It's going to happen in pockets, baby steps. See, because this took 400 years, right? We don't talk about
it's
prior
been
400
plus
years.
And add some 200 on.
That's
two,
what I'm talking
this.
About. So it's going to take us, who knows, hundreds of years to get past it. And it's going to start with
baby steps. We're dying healthy, man. We're dying unhealthy. We're dying
well,
from
that's
our gonna
stress. Happen. That's going to happen, man. You gotta take the collateral damage right now. But we can't stop teaching. That's why I want this invisible dragon to spit fire. See, we can't just be limited to this blog talk thing. We got to become not a movement, but an actual fact. Where we're standing out on the street, different parts of this country, where we come together and we speak to people, and we speak words to power. See, because nobody's going to believe us on this little box right here. At some point, we got to go out and teach and train. That's the thing, man. We got to teach and train those younger than us, and you got to teach and train these old folks like us. Because, see, they're the one poisoning the younger generation with this submissive stuff. And I got a whole lot of other conversations we're going to have on this show.
Man, it sounds like you're standing on your three-legged soapbox, man. Hold on.
Yeah, that's what it's here for.
That's what it's here for. I think communication, I don't know if, you know, I'm going to go on the corner and go to talking crazy, or but people will appear as crazy.
You're not going to the corner. You already hooked up with the university, right?
No, what I'm saying is this. I think, I guess I'm not the leader. I'm man enough to say I'm not the leader. I don't want to lead. I want to walk beside someone, and I don't want you to lead me. So, and I don't want to lead someone else.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Way. That's me, man. I want to see what you're
mad at.
Let me finish my thought.
Who's the coach?
And you can't listen first.
I know what I'm going to say. And poison yourself. Because you're the coach. You was coaching before you was actually coaching.
You can't tell me who I am. I guess this now you're putting me in the others. I just told you who I am. I don't like being led, and I don't want to lead. I want to stand beside someone. That's all I said.
That's what you're doing. You just stand
up
in
front
lead.
Momentarily. I don't want nobody in front of me because your ass might go over the cliff, and I'm too close to you. There I go. So getting back on topic. Getting back on the topic, man.
Why has that forsaken me?
Go ahead, Doc.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. Go ahead, man. Raheem.
Yes, I didn't say
you
that.
You know, me and
but
this dude got
a
really
say,
precarious
only
relationship.
Thing I would say.
And he don't want to be a leader. I'm not a leader.
Right.
I'm just that dude.
Well,
Raheem is lettered. Dinez, there's a dude in the struggle trying to get, you know, he's just trying to get bigger. You know?
The thing is, can I say something real quick?
Hold a second, Malik.
All right.
Just one second. Clarence, I don't think we can get bigger without putting money up. That's the bottom line. If we go change anything, we have to change with money. So we're not Malcolm X, Martin, and all our great leaders, they ain't preached hard enough. They have not preached hard enough to shift what we still go through. Until we build something with our own money and own it, then we can start to talk. Other than that, go in and give
you just
speeches.
Said something. You just said
that ain't
something.
Go. That ain't gonna work, man.
People have
the
built,
speeches
listen,
are over.
Listen. People have built something, and all of a sudden, they defamed their character, and negated it. So don't say nobody never built nothing because they have built something. But
I don't even know if you
just.
I don't even think you're aware that your lips are moving at this moment.
Hey, listen, Kung Fu. Listen. People have built something. But because of what we're talking about tonight, they have took a step back to agree with their lesser consciousness. They have submitted to their lower self and let somebody dominate them. Now, we have built something, and money has been in play. But it all starts with a word. We got people with money. We just got to get in that.
No, we don't, man. No, we don't.
And we do have people with money, but they fall victim to the duality. Like, they may not want to deal with you because the money that they have puts them in a different bracket.
So should we give up? Should we say,
never
well,
give
who
up?
Did
with
they?
You have to. You have to.
Should we
up.
Give up?
Don't give
Aaron
up.
Said,
hey,
no, man. Why the hell you steady asking him? He said no.
Yeah,
no,
don't give up. Link up. Don't give up. Link up. You
that's
have to link
saying.
Up with
link
a like
up.
Mind.
Well,
we
got
like-minded
no
people.
Got nobody
do something. No, man. I'm tired of just talking. Let's take some damn money. Put money in together every month and build something. We need to build something or we're not respected as men. That's the bottom line. So I like what we're doing, But if we don't take no money and go, okay, man, we make it, we put it in $50 every 2 weeks or whatsoever, and then we go look into a stock. We go look into if we can do a charter school. If we're constantly going to the people to ask them for money, I'm just saying that doesn't work.
Exactly. That makes you handicapped.
It doesn't work. You all you're going to do is wait.
I don't even think
I said nothing close to that. But go ahead.
I know. You, when your brain cut off, you don't realize it.
No.
Malik, you wanted to say something. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Further, I want to go back to the point. I want to go back to the point was made that, you know, I don't want to be led and I don't want to be a leader. Right? The thing is, there are different type of leadership styles. There are different type of leaders. So, unfortunately, whether you realize it or not, you are a leader. You're a father, you're a husband, you're a brother, you know what I'm saying? You're a mentor. So it's a different way that, in essence, you're a leader, because people are looking at you and they're looking at saying, you know, I want to be like that cat. You know,
Malik,
he's doing
Malik,
something.
Malik,
hold on,
Malik,
hold on. I did not interrupt.
I know my personality.
I did not interrupt anybody. I sat back quietly and listened. Now it's my turn out of mic. I didn't say nothing to nobody, right? I want to
go
back.
Yeah, but who got the power to mic you off?
I want to go back to the comment that was
Clarence,
made, I guess, through the
chat room. I ain't micing nobody off.
I want to go through the comment on the chat room where the person said that they don't feel inferior at all. The thing about it is the inferiority and the double consciousness can not only be in individual, but it's also a collective inferiority. It's a collective double consciousness. So the thing about it is with the collective, that means everyone in the community. So the thing is like you personally might on an individual level think, no, I'm not inferior to anybody. I can hold my own to anyone, right? But when you break it down and you look and say that this is inferior to that, and this is part of your culture, and the other is part of somebody else's culture, and you saying we have to be like this to be more professional or to be better, or, you know what I'm saying, you're not supposed to act this way. You know, you can't act this way. Why you act like this? That's so ghetto. That's so hood. Then, in essence, you do have an inferiority complex. Because the thing is, you're taking your collective culture and making it inferior. Because you're looking
at
it through the eyes.
That's what I was saying. Exactly,
right.
Because
you're looking
through
it through the eyes of the other people, your oppressor. So it's like you're looking,
right,
taking them stereotypes and you're putting it on your collective culture. So it's like the thing is, like individually, you might not think you're inferior because you might think I'll hold my own. I can do this. I can do that. Beautiful. You probably could. I do not know you personally. But as a collective, when you say, man, black people need to stop acting so ghetto. Black people need to stop, you know, all this, you know, oh, God, listen to this music. They so, ooh, we so, what's wrong with us? See, that is the collective, that's the collective consciousness of inferiority that's been planted with us.
Exactly, Malik.
Okay,
I think you're doing two people. I got what you're saying, though.
I don't think anyone encroached what Malik just said. No one encroached that. No one. Not myself, not Dinesh, not even
no,
you.
I thought someone on the chat said
they
don't feel inferior.
All right.
Right.
So someone on the chat said
listen. I said I didn't feel inferior in company. I did not say anything about my people being ghetto.
Right.
No, that's a statement.
No, Clarence was responding to me and saying that he doesn't feel inferior to when I was discussing Malik about going in, and that you'll have a feeling that they'll make your custom or whatsoever inferior, and I think that's what Clarence was answering to.
Okay, but still, it's like as an individual.
I agree with what
saying.
You just said wholeheartedly. What you just
right.
said wholeheartedly, that's what I want to challenge that. I want to challenge that if we're the best, let's put it to the test. That's what I'm saying. That's right.
So
that's
if
right.
We're smart,
let's make it real.
If we're
let's
smart,
make it real.
Let's make something happen and stop doing all this damn talking. Stop
right.
the damn
Let me
talking,
give you an example.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Let me give you an example of the double consciousness. Around about my second year of teaching at Fresno State, you know, I'm having
you
all these 60
seconds now. Go ahead.
So you say, okay, I had this one black
male. He can go
There's
over.
A black male.
Stop.
There's a black male, right? And so what happened
right.
is he's from L.A. And when he came
right.
when he came to my class, he had the basic black male persona. He talked real slangish. He was very intelligent young man, right? And deep down inside, I'm looking at him like, you need to change that. I never told him that, but deep down inside, I felt you need to change that. To succeed in this program, because these white professors are going to look at you as being unintelligent. I never told him this, you know. I told him later, but I told him later is like I was trying to show him how all of us can internalize this self hatred. Right?
I believe that, Malik. I believe that.
Yes, and I believe I have over my life, Malik. I have internalized self-hatred. And so I guess I'm ready to move on. And I think that's what I'm trying to get others. Let's move on. Whatever that has happened in the past, let's move on. But let's not retrace our damn steps. I'm tired of that. We can take little bitty money and put together just like any other culture has and change. We could change something. But we can't change
right.
nothing just with hope, wish, and prayer. I don't believe that's a process.
We got 30 seconds left, man, about 40 seconds left. We really do appreciate, I know we've been off air for a while, but Clarence and I really do appreciate, Malik, that you came in and take the time to speak on our show. You're credible, and that brings up
yes.
some form of credibility. Inez, also, who's a young, upcoming artist, writer, and I hope you guys come back and anytime and support us, because I'm not doing this one for free. Something's coming out of this. I'm telling you now. And if it's not, I'm out of here, man. Either we putting some money up to move ahead, or it's a wrap for me. I'm not doing no more free stuff, man, EBT.
Yeah, I definitely right. agree with that. I'd like to thank y'all for the invite. Also, guys, be on the lookout for some upcoming shows here or the session with Hyphenex here on Blog Talk. Be on a Facebook page near you. Also, you guys can go out and actually support my first book, Scattered Thoughts, at www.createspace.com/5977974.
What's the ticket on that, man? What it cost? What's your book called?
It's called Scattered Thoughts, and it's a cost of $10.
How much it cost?
Okay.
It costs $10.
Man, we go get your book. I think if that cat just did his book, we can't get no damn books, Malik, right now. These minds writing professional like that. But if his book is out, man, we should. He came on. We should buy his book. That's my whole
yes.
thing. That if we go do something, we should buy that dude's book. And he
yes.
gonna send
Definitely
us his link on
support.
Facebook. We should buy his damn book. All of this.
Yes, we'll put it here
nothing.
In the chat room.
Yeah.
The link is also in
right.
the chat room, guys.
All right.
We're going to buy that book, and we've done books. We did Soul Survivor.
Yeah.
A dude from my old neighborhood. We did that show, too. A cousin of mine has a book,
we're
going
to want you to come back,
I got
to
buy that book, and we're going to read that book. We got a lot of people in our group that do a lot of positive things. And like Rob say, man, we're trying to create an awareness, but we're also trying to be profitable. We want to impose our will out here.
So even when it's sunlight, boy, if your pocket's empty, damn, Jack, you feel like it's raining.
You know what I'm saying? Storm clouds.
Danez X, ain't heard from you in a minute, man. Good to hear from you.
Malik,
hey,
Malik,
you
can
have a pleasure.
Malik, you're welcome.
Hey, Malik,
time, even
man.
When it ain't a pleasure, it's still fun. Malik,
I'm sorry.
We always have a good time.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's
all
it,
right,
fellas.
Y'all.
You go see us next
you all
Sunday
take
at the same time, man. All right?
All right.
Take it easy.
All right. I am. God is an I am. Have a good one. Peace.